enforcement cracks down on documented workers in Monterey County, and a report on the alleged arming of the Houthis in Yemen by Iran. At 11 on Stage and Studio, Demay Roberts features the world premiere play Broken Promises and talks with Danelle Milan, founder of Teatro Milagro, and actor Giovanni Alva. And she checks in with Oluyinka Akinjiola of Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater about their performance of Ancestry in Motion. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, we'll hear how women used art and humor to campaign for social justice around the world in 2015. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this announcement.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Sean. Or is it the other way around?
Who cares? It's radio. Or podcast on the radio.
Is that a band?
No, that's TV on the radio. Pitch our show already.
Oh, yeah. Listen to our show.
Can you elaborate?
Listen to our show, please.
Sweet mercy, I'll do it. Our show is called Upside Down Trodden. It's informative and entertaining talk about issues important to the effort to create a more sustainable, more peaceful, and more equitable world for all life on the planet. We want to inspire you to think critically, feel deeply, and ask questions.
And we want to have a little fun along the way.
That's true.
You can find...
Can I say it?
You can find...
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Don't interrupt me again.
I won't.
You can find... Come on!
You can find us at kboo.fm/upsidedowntrodden.
Turning power inside out never sounded so good, especially on
KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, January 5th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, Dan Sears, is joining us. Dan, of course, Columbia Riverkeeper, needs no introduction, but what we're talking about today might well benefit from a little introduction. There's a sizable contingent of people, sometimes decked out as corporate entities, sometimes one man, mad buckets out and around in America, who imagine that what they want trumps the law, constitutional law. For that matter, who would have imagined the use of the word Trump as a verb would bristle with so much bluster, deception, and ego? That said, Tessaro Savage wants Longview, Washington, and they imagine that they can just have it because in the current context, in the current, as we might call it, financial climate, that's what goes on. Companies who want something, they take it. Sometimes along the way, yelling the word jobs, but jobs or no jobs, it doesn't matter. They assume that law is no obstacle to their intentions. Tessaro Savage wants Longview, Washington. Clive and Bundy and family imagined that their pitchfork rabble, referred to as a militia, they imagined that they could take over a wildlife refuge and, wait for it, work the land. Meanwhile, since the land is frozen solid, they've been working the media. But the real outrage and disgrace in all of this is the silence from the environmental movement. Or have we been silenced by the media? Are we not speaking out, or have our words been censored? If Bible-thumping bigots are served up on a daily basis, an hourly basis at this point, and they're blaring from every radio, every screen, every telly, every blog, then where are the voices speaking out in defense of Malheur? Bundy speaks only for himself and ostensibly the Hammond arsonists. Where are the words speaking out on behalf of all the good people, the public in public land, who have a responsibility to stand up to Bundy's scum brigade? I want to know where those voices are. I'm not hearing them. Maybe I'm hearing them. Maybe this is an echo in here. Maybe we are an echo chamber. That said, we'll be speaking very soon to Dan Sears, Tessero Savage, two fossil fuel giants propose to build a mega, enormous, and you know, what they say they're building, we know that's huge. It's enormous. It's the biggest one in the whole country. But the trouble with corporate entities such as Tessero Savage is whatever they say, whatever size they say they're going to build it, it always turns out larger. And it always creates larger problems. And the company says, well, we had every good intention. We never knew this would happen. We're waiting to get Dan on the line. We'll have him on in just a moment. This is, and as many people know by now, an oil-by-rail terminal just across the river in Vancouver. Let's not forget, the Columbia River does not divide Oregon and Washington. The Columbia River unites Oregon and Washington. The proposed facility would handle up to 360,000 barrels of oil, bringing an additional 4 oil trains onto the railways every day. There's a hearing today to submit a written comment to the Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council, or EFSEC, telling them to deny Tessero Savage's dangerous oil-by-rail proposal. The impacts would reverberate all across the region. Do not imagine the Columbia protects us from Washington's folly. Do not imagine that we will be immune to the impact of this facility. It's coming fast, and it's up to us to stop it, just as it is up to us to stop nutbags like the Bundys and the Hammonds from desecrating the land around the Malheur Refuge. Today, Tuesday, January 5th, from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. How can you possibly miss it? It's like shooting at a barn wall. The rally is actually at 5. It's Clark County Event Center at the Fairgrounds, Hall B. I can give you all the rest of the info, but that's where it's going to be. Anyway, that said, we welcome Dan Sears, Columbia Riverkeeper, to the KBOO airwaves once again. Okay, the Air Cascadia airwaves as well. Good morning, Dan. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris.
Well, this has been bandied about for a while now. There have been protests and actions taken both sides of the river. And now we come to, why is this hearing of such great importance? Why is this meeting?
This is the first time the Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council will hold a hearing about the Tessero Savage project in 2 years. And so this is a big opportunity to make a strong statement and to persuade both the Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council and Governor Inslee to turn the project down. The Tessero Savage Terminal, as proposed, would be the largest oil-by-rail facility in North America. It would have the capacity to ship 360,000 barrels of oil a day. That's almost half the size of the Keystone XL pipeline in dangerous, explosive oil trains. And so what we're doing today is really laying out two key points for EFSEC. One, that the draft environmental impact statement clearly shows that the project should be turned down. And then secondly, that we're calling on Governor Inslee directly to deny the project and to turn it down.
So the governor is the that's where the buck stops, essentially, and Inslee does have the power to stop this.
Yes, that's right.
He does.
Governor Inslee is the ultimate decision maker. So the council we'll be speaking to today makes a recommendation, but the ultimate decision relies with Washington's governor. And in 2016, we think it's very possible that he will have to make the final decision on this very large oil-by-rail proposal in Vancouver.
So Inslee is being pushed and pulled about in different in different directions on and this corporate interest, of course, yelling jobs and whatnot in his ear, and also safety, which, of course, is questionable. But the voices opposing it are many and strong and growing stronger all the time. Right now, can you let listeners know some of the people, individuals, groups who oppose this?
Yeah, we've really never seen anything quite like it. There's people coming out of the woodwork who oppose the idea of Vancouver becoming a huge oil export hub. And that includes the Longshore Union here in Vancouver, Local 4. 101 small businesses in Vancouver have lined up to oppose the project. And a number of tribal representatives will be here in Richfield to speak today against this project at the Clark County Fairgrounds. So the hearing today is really an opportunity to show the breadth and the depth of the opposition to this project. And, you know, we know that people in Clark County opposed the project because they elected a port commissioner who ran on the basis of opposing this proposed oil terminal. And so we look forward today to making that case, making that statement directly to FSEC. We'll be here listening to testimony for up to 10 hours today.
They've talked about, the people who are promoting this talk about how safe this facility is, state of the art and all that. And they talk about safety of the trains and that, don't worry, they won't blow up in your backyard. They will, of course, spray your house with coal dust, but other than that, it's perfectly safe. But there's the infrastructure required to build it and then to run it and then almost inevitably to clean up the mess when it blows up, that requires a lot of changes to a rather small community. This is an environmental, this essentially is, they're talking about the Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council, but when they're talking about the site, does that take into account infrastructure and what's going to be the changes Vancouver will be required to make to accommodate this?
That's one of the issues that the EIS is supposed to take into account. But one of the things we're finding is that the draft environmental impact statement fundamentally understates the risks to the community. And it's a big concern we have about the environmental impact statement. While it does reach the conclusion that there are inevitable negative impacts, it also understates the potential worst case scenario. So if you had something like the Lac-Mégantic disaster in Quebec, which killed 47 people, happen in downtown Vancouver, there's really no way to upgrade the infrastructure or public safety to deal with that type of problem. And so what we're trying to convey to FSEC today and to Governor Inslee is that it would be reckless for them to look over or ignore the very real common sense concerns of this community and for people all over the region who don't want Washington to become a huge shipper of fracked oil all over the world and the climate pollution that that would bring.
What's your sense then of how this affects the actual origin of fossil the fuel in the first place? I'm talking about keeping it in the ground. When a project of this size is stopped, how back down the line, how does that affect the effort to keep it in the ground in the first place?
It has a huge impact. Tesoro's proposal in Vancouver is by far the largest of the oil-by-rail facilities that are proposed in the Pacific Northwest. Taking together all of the different projects from Grace Harbor to Anacortes to here in Vancouver and then down in Clatskanie would be over 1 million barrels of oil a day. If we're successful as a coalition, as a stand-up to oil coalition in stopping these projects, we make a real dent in the amount of oil that comes out of the ground and the amount that stays in the ground. The chant that people use often at these events is turn the trains around, keep it in the ground. And that's the message we're trying to send today is if Washington can turn down the largest of these oil by rail proposals, that sends a clear message that the Columbia River will not become a huge throughway for dirty oil all over the world. So we really stand astride a critical geographic choke point for making this decision. And that's why we're calling on everyone to make it up to the Clark County Fairgrounds today at some point and give your 2 cents, give your 2 minutes to FSEC. Let them know that you care about this.
We're almost down to the line here. One final question I just want to get in. It's important that I have not heard in all the discussion surrounding this. Is the Columbia River Bar. It's one of the most dangerous pieces of water on the West Coast, possibly the world. It's up there with like the Roaring Forties down off the Falklands and the tip of Argentina. It's a very, very dangerous stretch of water that ships have to get past. Now, if they're going to run, and if it's worse sometimes of years than others, these days, those times of years are unpredictable. Have they taken into account the fact that they're going to be shipping this stuff across the Columbia River Bar?
you know, that's one of the issues the environmental impact statement does look at. And what they conclude is that this would be a 223% increase in oil tanker traffic over the Columbia River Bar. That's just a staggering increase. It increases, well, it introduces an enormous risk to the Columbia River estuary of an oil spill. And as we all know, the Columbia River estuary is really the linchpin for salmon recovery for the entire Columbia River system. And so what we're seeing today is a real conflict between Big Oil's plans for the Columbia River estuary and the people's plans in Columbia River estuary, where we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in bringing salmon back. And those fishing voices, both from tribes and from sports fishermen, will be on display today. People will be coming out to really make their case to EFSEC to turn this project down.
Dan, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Time's about up. We've got information. We don't even have time for final word, but we do have all the info for people who are going up there to Ridgefield to get their voice heard. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know you're right. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
My landlord's a wealthy man, living off rent like the fat of the land.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of Eviction Free 2016, a rally in March organized by Portland Tenants United. On January 15th at 4:30 p.m., tenants will gather at Portland City Hall to demand an end to no-cause evictions, landlord retaliation, and persistent discrimination against racial minorities. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Hello, neighbors, if you try to